Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel, where it is time once again for No Sleep Teal. Travis Ryer alongside my co-host Evan Ryer on the heels, Evan, of another disappointing, albeit not surprising, defeat at the hands of the Houston Texans yesterday, but still disappointing nonetheless. And even with the way it went down, even with the feeling that when Tank Bigsby didn't get into the end zone at the end of that big run in the third quarter and push it to two scores for the Jaguars, when he didn't get in, I didn't have any expectation, even from the four, for the Jaguars to get the ball into the end zone. And I guess as an extension of that, I didn't really expect this team to close the deal.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, you know, especially after, you know, the first and second down miscues, after, you know, they basically get negative 1 yards trying to go back to Bigsby, which, you know, I love that they tried to reward him. I think that's a great thing. You know, you see guys get pulled out, you know, after a big run right before they hit the end zone. And, you know, I like that. But, yeah, when they didn't get in there, I was pretty certain that they were going to lose that game. That kind of felt like when Etienne fumbled into the end zone against Miami. You know what I mean? Like, it was just like, oh, well, that was the chance to go up two scores. Maybe not to put the game away, but to ensure that really all the Texans could hope for is to take it to overtime. And, yeah, when he didn't get in and then the third down, like, the third down call I didn't have a whole lot of issues with. And the fourth down call, I didn't have a ton of issues with, but just, yeah, you knew what was coming. It was like,
seen
it was
this movie before.
Yeah. I've been to that game. I mean, we saw the Jags. We've seen the Jags do
Miami.
That a lot.
It had Miami vibes at that point.
And that's kind of what's actually crushing about the loss. You know, I joked yesterday where I said I was numb. I sent in our family group chat. I was like, I'm numb and I'm going to be numb for a while. But you know, that in Miami felt like there were so many parallels in those two games. Like, they felt like the same exact game. And, you know, if the Jags are able to finish, you're looking at 2-2. Even if you get dump trucked like you did in Buffalo, you're 2-2.
2-2, 1-0 in the division.
1-0 in the division.
I would take 1-3 right now if the one was yesterday.
Over the Texans, because you're one game
division,
back.
Division win at 1-3. You're good. And you got a division game coming up at home. Yeah.
Texans are 2-2 if that happens. And, you know, that would have been nice. But I think we just pessimism, intelligence, whatever you want to call it. I think everybody that watches the Jaguars consistently knew what was coming after Tank didn't get
it. It's like a vortex of losing, right?
Yeah.
And it just becomes harder and harder to shed that just overwhelming. It feels like an anvil on a team's back that it's carrying around at some point. And, you know, I didn't mind Doug going for it on fourth and goal. I know there's been this talk in the last 24 hours. You got to take the points there, go up six. I think more than anything, this team needs to take a win, not hope for a win. To me, if you kick the field goal there and you go up six, you're still in hope. You're in hope mode.
Yeah.
You're hoping 6 points is going to be enough. You go get in the end zone there, and there were a couple things that went wrong on that play. I didn't like the play call from the standpoint of when I look at Trevor Lawrence, I don't look at him as a guy that if I need a yard, he's going to go get it, unless it's just blocked up perfect.
Right.
Trevor, despite his measurables, despite being a big quarterback, he's not Josh Allen by any means in that situation. So you're not going to get a lot from him if you need it. If he gets up into the traffic and he's got to kind of push things even just a little bit. But Brandon Scherff got blown up at the right guard position. You still had room to work off the left side. But again, in that situation, that's not Trevor. And again, I didn't have a problem with going there because sooner or later, this is a league of taking. You got to go out and take wins. You can't hope to win in this league. And the Jags right now are in this hope mode. Well, we hope 20-17 or even 23-17. And even if you try to use the hindsight thing of, well, if you kick the field goal, so what? I mean, the way it played out when you got the ball with 4 minutes left in the game, even if you were up six, you went 3-and-out, you know, and the team with the better quarterback ultimately won the game, despite the team with the better quarterback doing everything it possibly could to hand you the game. And the Texans just three or four times tried to hand it to the Jags, and the Jags won't take it.
Yeah, I mean, the Texans' offensive line might as well have been wearing teal and black because they really, really did not want to win. Like, no. I mean, unreal. Like, how just the Texans' offense was stunted over and over and over again by that. And, you know, with that, with the Trevor Lawrence draw specifically, I don't want to extrapolate too hard, but to me that represents maybe his biggest flaw, which is his lack of on-field awareness and intelligence. Just like you said, there was space over to the left. Dude doesn't even, there is no thought when he takes the snap there. There's no thought. It's
you I'm put going it up to go on the straight. Board. That's the way Trevor's going to run it.
Right. And I am going it, to go if dead
it,
straight.
If it sets up that way and everybody blocks it up, you're good. But I agree. If it requires, Trevor plays quarterback. He plays quarterback. He doesn't play football. Yeah. He did a little bit when he came into the league. I think also the turnover issues he's had is maybe had something to do with this. Like, it's fourth and one, though. Who cares if you fumble, busting your ass, trying to get in somehow, some way into the end zone?
Well, and the thing is, too, is I know I made a big prediction to say 34-20, I believe is what I said. Coming into the game.
It was a 14-point game is what you had for sure.
Yeah. That should have happened. Think about it. I mean, not to say it's not about me being right here, but a muffed punt to start the game gives you 7 points. And then on top of that, again, like Houston's offensive miscues, I mean, they probably could have scored 40 if they didn't have that going on. I mean, they were picking up all those holds and different things. They weren't coming on like 2 yard gains. They were coming on C.J. Stroud running for 15 yards or throwing the Nico Collins for a 25-yard gain. You know, it was to me, the Jags absolutely deserved to lose that game. They did not play well enough at all to win that game, obviously. And honestly, I don't even know if they deserved a close game. They were fortunate to be in a close game.
Well, when you look at this box score that I've got up on the screen right now and just look at the quarterbacks in the game, it's like going to the grocery store, and I show you the left side of the screen or the left side of the maybe the refrigerated area. And I say, on the left here, we have ground round, 80-20 ground beef. And then on the right, we've got filet. Because statistically, when you look at it, Trevor Lawrence on the left, 18 of 33, 169, two touchdowns. But C.J. Stroud over on the right, 27 of 40, 345. And two touchdowns. And when I tell you that's ground chuck on the left and that's filet on the right, well, on the right, you're getting filet for ground chuck prices right now with C.J. Stroud. Right. And on the left, you're getting ground chuck at filet prices. And Trevor, I thought it was important to have this kind of game too, because you don't come out of this game, Evan, saying, well, the offensive line. Because Trevor has his supporters, man. And I appreciate it because I don't know anyone who doesn't like Trevor Lawrence or doesn't want Trevor Lawrence to do well.
Right.
Right. I mean, he is the guy that you want to pull for, you know, but at the end of the day, when you get it blocked up and you get guys open in year four, you got to hit a couple of these throws that Trevor really didn't come close to hitting yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, missing wide open Christian Kirk on the deep ball. You know, Christian Kirk has finally kind of started to come alive this season. I thought he played really well yesterday. I thought he was decent. I mean, in the Buffalo game, it doesn't really matter because they were already, you know, down by a billion after, you know, 20 minutes. But I thought Christian Kirk played well. And the kind of moment that Christian Kirk could really, you know, take a step forward on was, I mean, he just torches his defender. He's wide open and Trevor misses him by a mile. So I just don't know what to say other than Trevor is playing at really this four game stretch is the worst four game stretch I've seen him play. And yeah,
you can't. And again, you can't point to the offensive line yesterday.
Yeah, they played.
You can't
fine.
Point to
they
the lack of a good. Run game. You know, you ran for over 150 yards in the game as a rushing
so what's
offense.
Up? You know, I mean,
you protected pretty well. You can't point to Cam Robinson and Anton Harrison yesterday. Did you hear anything about those elite pass rushers for the Texans.
Will Anderson was anonymous yesterday.
I mean, took care of the quarterback, gave him clean pockets, and there were times where he had clean pockets and he's still spinning out.
Yeah.
You know, he's seeing ghosts at this point, or he's feeling ghosts in the pass rush. And I'll say this too, you know, Christian Kirk, that play that Trevor missed him on, if you went out to training camp, the preseason, that's a play, that is a bread and butter staple play for Press Taylor and Doug Peterson. And they hit it time after time after time in training camp, even against the Bucks in the dual practices in Jacksonville. It's kind of move Trevor to the left and really run Kirk all the way across the field and hit it. That kind of tells you what preseason means though, right? Doesn't mean much if you don't hit it during the season. And I mean, Trevor's got to be better, but it kind of goes back to what I've been saying for a few weeks now. I don't think Trevor Lawrence is going to be the kind of quarterback you build with. He's going to be the kind of quarterback you build around, right?
Yeah.
He's not going to take people and elevate them on a week in and week out basis. You're going to have to put people around him, and it's going to have to be sort of this communal type of approach to offense and kind of buoy him in some ways that I don't think you anticipate, certainly not based on what you just signed him to an extension for. But what about Doug Peterson too in the post game? I mean, we're talking about players not making plays, but what about Doug going to the extent to actually go there in his post game comments, Evan?
Yeah, that two-way street comment is, you know what? He's not wrong, really. You know, I mean, we've been, you know, criticizing play, you know, Trevor's execution pretty much all game or pretty much all podcasts. And, you know, that's real. But you can't effing do that. That is unacceptable to me. Like, for me personally, I think if Trevor had went out and thrown the coaches under the bus of like, well, we can't draw up anything, so I'm just fighting for my life out there or whatever. If he threw the offensive line under the bus, I would feel that. That you can't do that. Not in public, not whatever. You cannot do that. And it really, really ticks me off. And I think most people are pissed off. And, you know, really, you know, what I think that says is Doug looks like he doesn't want to be doing this. Like, he looks like he doesn't want to be there.
Kind of sounded like, hey, whenever you guys want to write me a check or come get me,
please.
He sounded over it. I agree. If you're not, you don't even approach that territory
right, where
you're putting the players under the bus, even if it's sort of the two-way street thing where it's coaching and execution. I thought he had already harped on execution enough in the previous weeks that we got the message without actually going there. But he went there. And, you know, I'll say this. Yeah, once again, no Evan Engram. But that's where a Gabe Davis should help fill that void, right? Similar type of player. One catch minus 2 yards for one of your offseason big ticket items. I'll say this, though. I think Brenton Strange in Ingram's absence has really come along nicely. I think you got to be happy with him.
For sure.
Brian Thomas, once again, with a really nice game. Kirk, you said it, missed opportunity with him. Kirk, though, too, is that he's got to be in a situation where it's not contested. He's not a big contested 50-50 ball guy. He had an opportunity on a 50-50. He just doesn't come up with those plays. So there is a little bit to go around. Like you said, I don't think Doug's necessarily wrong, but in making that type of comment, it kind of spoke to me about, boy, what must the vibe be like on a day-to-day basis right now around this team?
Well, you know, we've talked in the past about how there's, you know, unconfirmed, but some people that, you know, are typically in the know have talked about how Doug and Trent are at each other's throats right now. They're beefing, all this different stuff. You know, it's as much he's trashing the players with that comment, but he's also saying, well, our personnel stinks, Trent. Like, the guys you've got me are not good. They're not executing. And the guy you paid to play quarterback is not executing, you know, and it's just it feels toxic. I mean, we obviously don't know everything that's going on behind the scenes, what have you. You know, there's a lot of speculation. There's a lot of, you know, kind of meeting in the middle in terms of this interpretation, but it just feels bad. Yeah. Like, and you know, it of course it's going to feel bad. You're 0-4, but it doesn't feel like this is a team that's like together or, and you know, we talk about identity. There is no identity. And so now that you're 0-4 and your talent level hasn't been able to scrape out a win or two, you're now in a place where, okay, well, we just suck and yeah. we're openly saying it. And
yeah. and the thing is, three of the losses, though, games the Jags easily could have won. I mean, yeah. Miami, Cleveland, and yesterday, you could be sitting here 3-1. So it's not like the personnel is so deficient that you're non-competitive. Right. You were non-competitive in Buffalo when you didn't just show up, when you just didn't show up. And Josh Allen and the Bills were just, but it just tells you too how crazy this week league can be week to week. I mean, you and I were in Buffalo 1 week ago and endured that. And then look what happened to the Bills last night when they went on the road to Baltimore.
It happens.
They got what the Jags got just a week ago. It happens.
I hope that the Bills fans that were sitting in front of us made the trip to Baltimore for that one.
Those bastards.
I hope they did. But the thing is, too, is that let's also break this down. You blew games against what looks like at best a mediocre Dolphins team, really at this point a bad Dolphins team. You blew a game against a at best mediocre Dolphins team. You blew a game against a bad Browns team. You blew a game against a Texans team that asked you to win the game. They played as bad as you're going to see the Texans play all year.
Yeah.
And you couldn't get a win of those three.
Yeah.
I want to believe that the talent level is decent too, but I mean, shoot, like
I'm not saying it's elite. I'm just saying,
no, I know.
I'm just saying in two of these four losses, you were in pretty good. You were in a position to take the football game in Miami. You're going in. ETN fumbles. You see a 17-point lead late in the third quarter go by the boards. Yesterday, when Bigsby did not get in, I said, well, either 3 points or we're going to get stuffed down here and it's still going to be a one-score game instead of a two-score game. And so it goes back to just that small margin and the teams that have it, whatever it is. And it typically starts at the quarterback position. They usually have it at the quarterback position. I understand more than anyone that it's about all the pieces, but typically if you got that guy at quarterback, you're 2-2 at least right now. You're not 0-4 because that guy is going to get you over the hump more often than not. And not just in terms of physical attributes, you know, how that guy is wired plays a big part of it too. So what about defensively though, for the Jags, Ev? It was a little bit of a rough start, but I think the muff punt maybe helped them too. Probably lifted their spirits because it gave the Jaguars an opportunity to get in the end zone pretty early in the game. I thought they were solid for the most part, but again, kind of like the offense, 4-minute football in the fourth quarter. That's what it all comes down to. That's why we have a red zone network, right? We have a red zone network so we can all see these finishes to all these games in the different windows. And the Jags, defensively, for a lot of the good stuff they did, Ventrell Miller, I thought, was really good. I thought Monteric Brown was good throughout the game. Just didn't get it done.
Yeah, I mean, overall, it's tough because the tape showed that this was a decent performance. You know, in some ways they made a few plays here and there, but four games through the season, zero takeaways. That muffed punt counts, I guess, but no, like zero takeaways. You can't, there's no one on that defense right now that can,
which tells me what? No strip sacks,
no strip sacks.
Where are your edge guys?
I mean, no sacks really at all. Like from the guys that are supposed to be doing that. Roy Robertson-Harris was part of like just a complete offensive line collapse. That's really like, it seemed like two or three different guys were getting back there.
That was the pass rush highlight of the season so far, that place yesterday with Roy Robertson-Harris getting home on a 4-man pass rush. To me, that was maybe the defensive highlight of the four
games.
You know,
I mean, really, probably. I would say Ventrell Miller's two tackles for loss yesterday.
He's really good.
That dude looks like he might be finding it. And if he is...
You know what he has the look of a presence too. Yeah, think about the great defenses and you go to that inside linebacker position, right? I mean, that's synonymous with presence. It all seems to be central at that spot to everything around it. And you kind of need that presence on offense too.
Yeah.
And I know you hear me make that comparison to the quarterback position, and obviously physicality and all those things, it's not the same. I get it. But it seems like everything from that position, that's why the guy's got the green dot, like the quarterback too. I mean, he's communicating. He's the energy provider, the inspirer too, in addition to how he plays and produces. Same thing for the quarterback position. I think Ventrell Miller, just in those areas, showed you yesterday, he's got to be on the field down in and down out.
Well, the good news is for him, at least, is that with the Lokun going to be out for quite some time, we're going to see a lot of him. And if he can continue doing what he did yesterday, that's really encouraging. I also want to shout out Mason Smith. I thought Mason Smith looked really good yesterday. Yeah. Had that tackle near the goal line towards the end. You know, I mean, really, he was the only guy that I thought made a play on the last, like, two drives for the Texans. You know, I know Hines Allen got a concussion, but he was anonymous before that. Trayvon Walker was anonymous, really. Drew a couple of holds, but I don't know if that's on his quality of play or if it's Laremy Tunsil just kind of not being the guy.
I mean, Trayvon's got one move, and it's power. You know, it just doesn't seem like he's added a lot to that arsenal, to that toolbox. And then when you said it, when you lost Josh Hines Allen, whereas he didn't show up statistically, when he's in there, you still have to account for him. Yeah, he can still affect the quarterback, even if it doesn't show up in the box score as much. When he goes out, now you're essentially playing tackles at end. You know, you're going with Roy Robertson-Harris, Eric Armstead at an end, and that's just not a dynamic front. I'll give Robertson-Harris credit. He did get home on C.J. Stroud, and you said it. They did produce multiple flags against the Texans offensive line, but where are the heroes? You know, I guess that's what it goes back to. You know, late in football games, you need heroic figures that step forward and make plays. And I know that Tyson Campbell's out. But other than Ventrell Miller, you didn't get the sense that that was going to happen again on Sunday. And so you said this, with Foye Oluokun out, it's still going to be Ventrell, even if Lloyd comes back this week. You know, you got to think it'd be Miller and Lloyd, maybe Muma in that mix. Right now at the positions where you have to be down in and down out really, really good, the Jags are still lacking in some of those spots.
For sure. And really, you know, something that I think speaks on Muma and kind of speaks on, I think, identity and energy on that defense in terms of making plays. If you go back and watch the Texans' last touchdown, which is a heartbreaker or whatever you want to call it, no one is there on Ogbonwale to make the play. No one's there.
Yeah.
Muma, before, like, Ogbonwale is, like, at the goal line, and Muma's head is turned screaming at somebody.
Yeah.
He's pointing fingers, and then they're also pointing fingers back at him. What are we doing? Like
if rough.
Look, it's just in. A bad look. Like, I get it. Yeah. Like, when you give up what is essentially the losing touchdown, you know, that's what kills you. I get that that's, you know, you're going to be
upset. D'Amico played that whole thing perfectly, didn't he?
Yeah, with dude, he's clock. Money, dude.
Oh, my gosh.
He's so good.
He was dirty. That was dirty how he worked that thing down.
No, I mean, they are in a different level right now.
But there's also a trust there with the quarterback.
Right.
Right? That he can handle it. And if it comes down to it, he's not only physically going to make the right decisions or be able to execute the way he works up here. You know, there's a lot of trust to run it down like that and still be able to get the job done. So the Jags defense, I'll say this too. Let me ask you this question. Even when Tyson Campbell comes back, do you take Buster Brown off the field or you take Ronald Darby off the field and keep Buster out there at that corner?
I think it's pick your poison kind of. I don't feel great about either option. I think I'd rather have Buster out there.
Me too.
Personally.
Yeah.
Especially, Darby was so useless in the Buffalo game. He also got at this point, I feel safer with Monteric Brown. I know Darby provides a sense of experience and maybe, you know, a little bit more steadiness throughout a game, but I think you got to go with Monteric and Tyson Campbell as your outside guys. I will say that I think Antonio Johnson had his first decent game of the year yesterday.
Big hit in the middle of the field there.
That was awesome.
That was good to see.
He made a couple other really nice tackles. That
had a couple flags. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, overall, I thought he was better, you know, not great, but better. Really, right now, I don't even know if Cisco and Savage coming back makes me feel that much better about the secondary's chances, mostly because even if they do play their best game, the defensive pass rush is not there. So it's just like, okay, well, you know, you guys could be locked down. Y'all could get coverage sacks, but the overall impact of y'all's play is mitigated because as a whole, the defense is just not operating the way it needs to. I mean, they played okay yesterday. I really do think so. But again, I think if the Texans didn't shoot themselves, not in the foot, but each toe, they shot each toe off. They probably would have scored 40 something points in that game. I mean, really, like if I'm being honest, like they probably score at least two more touchdowns. So,
you know what it is though. The good news again, this week is here in Duval. It's another 50% off Firehouse subs.
Let's go, baby.
Cam Little, baby.
Cam Little's good.
We talked about this last week, you know, and I'm not really joking about it. They are playoff caliber with their kicker, their snapper, and Logan Cook with the punt that leads to the turnover and the Jags' first points all day long. Jags special teams, man. All about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's we gotta hold on to something, I guess. You know, I mean, it's anything at all because, yeah, I mean, it's really, really rough right now. And what's crazy is, like, they could win the next three games because they're playing teams that are not good.
The Bears got me worried officially after yesterday.
Oh, yeah, after pulling that out, yeah. No, Caleb Williams looks like
– Pats are terrible, man. I mean, if you don't beat the Pats.
Yeah. Oh.
And thankfully, you get the Titans twice. Coming up here.
Oh, no. What's funny though is that, like, because the Jags offense is so bad that, like, the Pats might only have to score like 14 points.
Jags could go like 6-11, but 5-1 in the division.
Yeah. Yeah. Titans are terrible. They're the only other team right now that does not have a win, but they do play.
Here's the problem, man. Joe Flacco is like 85.
Yeah,
and if he comes into Duval this Sunday and throws for three bills and like three tutties like he did last year against the Jags.
Yeah.
And your quarterback that you just extended and backed the Brinks truck up for can't play with Joe Flacco. And you got a guy like Mac Jones sitting over there too behind your guy. I mean, I'll say it right now. People think I'm crazy. Mac Jones is the quarterback in the first four games. Jags ain't 0-4.
They win a game.
Somehow, some way. Now, he might have lost a couple of those games, of those four. But he would have done something in the first four to help this team get over the hump.
Well,
that's my opinion.
That's my thing is that it's not about, like, Mac Jones being, like, better or more dynamic or something than offering something that Trevor can't offer other than attitude and energy, which is why we like Mac Jones. But
he'd give you some Ventrell Miller on offense,
something.
At least.
But the whole point being is just that Trevor has played at such a low level that how much work, like if Mac Jones plays at a low level, he's going to play at the same quality of whatever. So,
well, Mac's going to take your head off or try to.
Yeah. He'll take
when
a shot.
The chance in
he'll
the
at least take
half.
Some shots and or maybe fight for, you know, if Mac Jones takes that QB draw, right? He's
probably going to get concussed or he's going to score.
Yeah, he will get
one or two things are going to happen.
Fumble because he got it knocked out. Before.
Right, going for the goal line because it's fourth down.
Instead of running into Mitch Morse's ass, he would have at least like tried to jump outside and gotten laid out or something.
Something.
It's just
put it on the line. you know?
I mean, really, you know, this sounds bad as well. Like, you know, they're, everyone's going to think we're crazy, but let's go ahead and put Trevor on the IR.
Oh, wow.
Let's go ahead and put Trevor on the IR.
Well, you know? it's kind of a exercise in futility because Trevor's the guy, man.
I mean, right. But what I'm saying is give him like, I'm not saying the rest of the year, even
right.
Give him like, say he's got an ankle issue. The Cowboys just put what's his name on the IR when he then went at, I don't know if you saw this, but the Cowboys IR'd one of their defensive linemen and he had an interview after it. I mean, he went, oh, my wrist is totally fine. I'm healthy. It's just like, okay, well, that's
take a
lot.
A break.
Something's wrong.
Go get some water.
Yeah, exactly. Like, go tell Trevor to go meditate or what, pray, yeah, whatever the hell, yeah, he wants to do for a month.
But again, man, I mean, everybody wants Trevor to do well. Everybody wants Trevor to do well for multiple reasons, most notably because it means success for this football team. But everybody likes Trevor. Everybody wants it to work for Trevor. But right now, it's not working.
Well,
and it's not just the offensive line, and it's not just play calling. Everything. This whole overblown dynamic of who the hell's calling the plays. I mean, tell me you don't really know football without telling me you really don't know football, if that really matters.
Right.
I mean, Press and Doug are so ingrained and intertwined.
It's the same guy.
Yeah.
It's the same.
It's like hyphen names.
Right. No, I
Press
don't
Taylor
like,
Peterson.
You know, I don't like Press Taylor, but we've barely talked about him. I am now officially like, no, Doug is the problem. Because even if you think Press is the problem, Doug is the guy that continues to back him up. So at the end of the day.
And with comments like yesterday, you know,
yeah,
that doesn't help.
No, I mean, this is a team that is just waiting to clean house right now. And it's brutal to watch. I mean, there's no energy. There's no fight or fire really in any of these dudes' faces. And you know, what's funny too, is like, you know, Doug's comments last week, I called out Doug's comments last week of the whole, you know, well, at some point you got to stop. You can't just coach, you know, they got to go play. And then he follows up with this and it's just, yeah. I mean, we're at a point where I don't see anything changing.
Well, it's throwback jersey week.
Yeah, let's go, dude. Let's tarnish
feels
the
like
memory.
They've kind of created this homecoming game vibe for this week. Tom,
yeah,
Coughlin going to be honored. You like to see that. Boy, I say, you talk about somebody's legacy that just adds shine the more we move away from his time with the Jags. Tom Coughlin.
Yeah, dude.
You know, I mean,
even
God bless
with
TC.
Even with his kind of bad return or into the second, you know, stint in the front office or whatever, I mean, you at least
like the Parcells of the Jags, you know,
when you knew when a Tom Coughlin team took the field that they were at least going to try or that they were at least going to fight or
they had some grit.
And
yeah,
I know that's cliche, but it's real. It's real.
It is.
And I don't see that right now. And I don't know. It's going to be tough. We're probably going to lose to the Colts. And then
going to get Flacco'd.
Yeah, I think we're going to get Flacco'd.
Flacco's got some guys around him on that offense. And
yeah,
look, regardless of who the quarterback is, we'll get more into the Colts later this week. At least you go into this week, if you're a Colts fan, knowing what your football team is, right?
Yeah.
Who they are, what their identity is, what they're going to do, what their strengths are, what they're going to try to feature, right? You can't say that right now.
The Colts,
if you're a Jags fan.
The Colts should have beaten the Texans and blew it. They had a chance against the Packers and didn't quite get there. And then beat the Bears and then handed the Steelers their first loss of the season.
Well, the Colts lost to Malik Willis, if you want to take the quarterback stuff
a little bit further.
Didn't the Colts lose to the Packers with Malik
on
the road?
Correct.
So now the Colts are going on the road to take on Trevor Lawrence, who just got extended and bumped.
I don't know.
Can the Jags do it?
We'll see. It's just like now that even I'm so pessimistic that even with like the offensive line having a decent game yesterday, I'm now thinking they're due for a horrendous performance And that Colts defensive line is legit.
And they're missing some guys, but they just called up Adam Gotsis, the former Jag. They got some injuries.
He's getting home on Sunday.
Adam Gotsis.
If you want a free bet, I wish we were partnered with the sports.
Whatever
book.
His props are, go hey, over. Yeah,
Adam Gotsis over 0.5 sacks.
The Adam Gotsis game. That's what we'll preview it as coming up later.
It's
the
same thing with, like, you can always kind of see that. It's always been this way with bad Jags teams where there's like a name that sticks out, whether it's a former Jag or whatever.
Oh, it was, what's his name yesterday for the Texans that blew up Sheriff, wasn't he? Wasn't he a former Jag?
Fotokasi.
Yeah.
Fotokasi blew up Sheriff, blew up Morse. Yeah. Yeah. Ogbonwale scored a touchdown to win the game. Yeah. And then in the week prior, I said with, like, so much confidence. Like, I saw it. I was like, Keon Coleman has not had a good start to his year. He's going to score against the Jags because that's what the Jags do. They allow you to get right.
Gateway.
Keon Coleman catches a touchdown pass, has a decent night last night. He's got his season going now. So, yeah, dude, it's going to be Gotsis, sack, fumble, catching Trevor from behind.
Oh, man.
And,
TC's going into the Pride at halftime. So,
which is great. He deserves every single
Jags,
step of it.
Will the Jags play with some?
I hope they let him come into the locker room before the game. Tell Doug to sit down. Tell Doug to go get some water and let TC just talk to those fools for a second.
Love you, TC. Love you.
Yeah.
Dude. Oh, well, I think we've vented enough.
Yeah. I'm really
you
happy.
Feel better?
Therapeutic? Yeah, no, that's what I was going to say. Like, I'm going to stop going to therapy.
It's not about the viewers. It's about us.
Yeah, exactly. We're doing this for us. Don't worry about y'all.
Yeah, I mean, we hope you enjoyed it. We feel better. Hey, if you do feel better and you haven't subscribed to the channel as of yet, go ahead and hit that subscribe button for us. There's a notification bell right there as well. If you hit that notification bell, you'll be alerted to all of our content as it drops right here on Ryra on YouTube. And if you'd hit us with a thumbs up, a like, we would greatly appreciate that as well. Ev, we'll do it again later in the week.
Yeah. Nope. I'll feel better on Friday or whenever we get to record later this week. You know, I'll remember that we always beat the Colts at home, but, you know, 24 hours out, tough to see anything in front of me.
It's tough. Even as you try to talk yourself into being numb.
Yeah,
still,
you can't.
That one stung. That one's done.
You know, I mean, that's why you cut out exes when you break up with someone. You just, you don't let them linger. You got to just move.
Yeah. You take them off all the social media pages and everything. Well, I haven't had, thankfully, I hadn't had to experience that. I'm an old fart. And,
I'm sorry.
Mom's hung around for 30 years.
Sorry,
so.
You know, you're perfect. You know,
yeah, right.
All right.
Oh, gosh. I'm going to get struck
by
lightning.
We really do appreciate y'all listening to us. Groan and moan.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you know, we'll be in better spirits here.
Get over our case of the Mondays.
Absolutely.
Hopefully here soon. For Evan Ryer, Travis Ryer, thanking you all for joining us once again right here on No Sleep Till on Ryer on YouTube. Talk to you again later in the week as the Jags get ready to host the divisional rival, the Indianapolis Colts. Until then, so long, everybody.